Thank you, John Guy, and blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Tuesday, May 19th, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Jonga Gandemiri.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Zimbabwe is proposing to introduce a national health insurance scheme that will be administered by the National Social Security Authority.
At the end of the day, government is responsible for social protection. What you are saying, as a responsible government, we have to have social protection for our people.
Some Harare residents say they will tomorrow engage in a cleanup campaign following the local authorities' failure to provide adequate services.
We have partnered with Seco Cement, and we are going to start at 9 a.m. We are going to start at Marvesa Shop. They are going to proceed to Kamuni Shopping Center, where we do the main event.
And some Zimbabweans in South Africa say they are being targeted by allegedly corrupt police demanding bribes.
This is like a money-making scheme. Police arrest you, they organize you a lawyer, the lawyer will overcharge you. After they overcharge you, then I don't know what will happen to the money.
Zimbabwe is proposing to introduce a national health insurance scheme that will be administered by the National Social Security Authority, or NASA. This emerged at a tripartite negotiating forum for or TNF meeting held in Harare yesterday. The TNF brings together government, business and labor, and Monday's meeting was the first formal meeting after a five-year hiatus. The meeting resolved to fully implement the Kadoma Declaration, which was signed by the tripartite partners in September 2009 and was first discussed by the tripartite partners in the TNF in 2001 in an attempt to address macroeconomic problems facing the country, including the country's risk factors and their causes. Labour Minister Prisca Mufumira tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that resuming the TNF is a step in the right direction for Zimbabwe.
It is very significant. As you can see, the last one was in 2010, and it is important that we have social dialogue.
But concern has always been that you are always talking the government, labor, and business. But at the end of the day, there was no implementation of what you'd have agreed on. Is there going to be a difference this time around?
Yes, it's different because I don't know how much you know about what has been going on. We are going to litigate. I've taken principles of the tripartite negotiating forum for cabinet, which were approved by cabinet. And now we've directed the Office of the Attorney General to come up with the legislation, the draft legislation. And once we have the bill, if it goes to Parliament, it becomes law and is legally binding. What we had in the past was just a gentleman's agreement. People would sit around, agree, but there was no legal binding. So in this case, because we are going to legislate, it means it will be something with all parties. You don't come, discuss, agree, then come back and change your mind.
Lastly, we also understand, Honorable, that the government is considering introducing the National Health Insurance Scheme. Why are you planning to introduce this at this moment? How is it going to benefit the workers?
At the end of the day, government is responsible for social protection of all the citizens of the country. Yes, we do have private medical insurance companies, but they benefit just the few who are employed formally, who constitute, as far as medical aid is concerned, less than 10% of the population. What you are saying, as a responsible government, we have to have social protection for majority of our people.
That was Labour Minister Prisca Mufumira speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare. In our economic section later in this show, Blessing Zulu will get a response from business and labour on their views on the TNF meeting and prospects of an economic turnaround in Zimbabwe.
Meanwhile, President Robert Mugabe left Zimbabwe today for Gaborone, Botswana, to visit headquarters of the Southern African Development Community, or SADC, as a routine requirement for the chairperson of the regional bloc. He is expected to address staff at the headquarters and also meet President Ian Khama. Earlier, Mugabe, who is also the African Union chairman, met with the African Union Commission chairperson Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma, who was in Zimbabwe to consult on preparations for the forthcoming African Union summit, which will be held next month in Johannesburg, South Africa. The summit is expected to address several issues, including the crisis in Burundi, Somalia, and Mali. However, political analyst Rejoice Ngwenya tells reporter Standigile Mhlanga the AU is not effective in addressing Africa's problems.
They've always insisted and said that the capacity of the AU to sort these problems is limited in the sense that their root cause is the inability of African leaders to adhere to the basic principles of constitutionalism and democracy. Usually try and solve this problem with one eye closed and open for their own political interests.
So far, do you think the African Union has been effective in executing its duties with President Mugabe at the helm, looking at the Burundi crisis and the issue of xenophobia in South Africa?
It would be a bit of a short-term period to see whether or not Mugabe is capable of solving this problem. But, you know, Africa's problems cannot be solved by the AU as a collective bloc. I usually consider the regional blocs like IGAD and, ECOWAS and SADC to be the fulcrum of Africa's, the solution. Because Mugabe is a figurehead and he's obsessed with, the so-called war against imperialism. And his diagnosis is always wrong. He diagnoses and gives, Africa's problems a source outside Africa. So he has got a problem himself. So I do not see, even if we were to give him a 5-year tenure.
That was political analyst Rejoice Ngwenya on the line with Studio 7 from Harare. Residents of Harare's Mavuku and Tafara suburbs will tomorrow engage in what they say is a massive clean-up campaign following the local authorities' failure to provide adequate services. One of the organizers and Ward 21 councillor, Barnabas Ndira, says they will be partnering with the Lafarge Cement Zimbabwe Limited Company, which will provide protective clothing and garbage containers. The council is expected to provide transport to ferry this garbage. Studio 7 failed to reach Lafarge Cement Zimbabwe Limited for a comment. Ndira says the campaign will start at Manresa Shopping Center and end at the Kamunu Shopping Center.
Tomorrow we are having a cleanup campaign. We have partnered with Seco Cement, and we are going to start at 9 a.m. We are going to start at Manresa Shop. They are going to proceed to Kamunu Shopping Center, where we do the main event there. We are going to start at 9 a.m. up to 12 noon in the afternoon. And we have invited residents also to take part. We have also invited residents' associations to talk to their members to also come and support this initiative.
What role is the city of Harare playing in this campaign?
Firstly, I want to thank the PR department. They have managed to train our anti-litter monitors. We have got 4 wards in Mabuku Tafara. Each ward, we have got 30 people trained as anti-litter monitors, and they've just completed their training. So tomorrow, those anti-litter monitors will be leading the program. Also, the city of Harare is going to provide the refuse trucks for the program as well. This thing has been going on for some time, but with Seco Cement, this is the first of its kind, and I'm very happy that Seco Cement has come to us and we have agreed to work together. We've been doing these programs before, but we've been doing it to churches like Anglican. We've been doing it at the city of Harare. We've been doing it with the resident associations. So it's something that we want to continue with. The problem of garbage in Mavuku is a very big problem.
That was Ward 21 Councillor Barnabas Ndira speaking with Studio 7 from Mavuku, Harare.
Some Zimbabweans in South Africa say they are being targeted by allegedly corrupt police demanding bribes at a time when xenophobic attacks that left 7 people dead recently have subsided. One of the affected Zimbabweans is Gifty Muusha, who claims that he lost 4,000 rands when he was arrested at Johannesburg's Park Station on Saturday. Muusha tells Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye there are 15 other Zimbabweans facing the same predicament.
What happened to me, I was boarding my bus to Durban. I come across with two police officers. They asked for my papers, I gave them. And I had my laptop. They asked me, what is in the bag? I said, it's my laptop. They asked me for the slips for the laptop. I told them that, you know what, my house is in Durban, where I stay. So I don't have the slips here. They say, may you buy us a cold drink? I say, no. Why should I buy a cold drink? For what? What did I do wrong? I just left them standing and I proceeded to the bus because the bus was about to leave for Durban. When I was sitting on my seat, I saw those police coming into the bus. They come straight to me. They asked to search me. I asked them, guys, what did I do you wrong to deserve all these harassments? I was with you outside. You searched. You asked for my papers. I give you all my papers and all my documents. He swore me. You are very stupid and all. As I was trying to explain, he clapped me. They took me out of the bus. They took me to the cells there in Park Station. Before they took me to the cells, I was asking them, what was the charge which they were charging me with? They never tell me. Instead, they grabbed me with my private pass. They put me into the cell.
While you were in there, did you see any other Zimbabweans? And what were they saying they were in the cells for?
I saw plenty of Zimbabweans. Most of them, they had papers, but they had left the slips from Home Affairs home. So they were detained. They were not even given the opportunity to, like, phone home for the people who would be at home to bring the papers and all. This is like a money-making scheme. Police arrest you. They organize you a lawyer. The lawyer will overcharge you. After they overcharge you, then I don't know what will happen to the money.
That was Zimbabwean immigrant Gift Muumba speaking with Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye from Durban, South Africa. There was no official comment from the South African government.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kilohertz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Coming up,
a closer look at labor issues and the general state of the economy with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
Less than 24 hours after U.S. President Barack Obama joined Twitter as @POTUS, he has over 1.6 million followers. The Guinness World Book record for the fastest gain of a million followers is currently held by Hollywood actor Robert Downey Jr., who achieved the feat in just under 24 hours in April of 2014.
The U.S. State Department has proposed releasing private emails from U.S. presidential candidate Hillary Clinton in early 2016. The State Department made the proposal late Monday in response to a lawsuit filed under the Freedom of Information Act. Clinton's emails became the subject of controversy earlier this year when it was revealed that during her term as Secretary of State, she conducted much of her communications over a private email account rather than using a State Department account.
Shia militias massed today outside the Iraqi city of Ramadi ahead of a possible offensive to try to recapture the Anbar provincial capital from Islamic State militants. An operation carried out alongside Iraqi government forces would resemble the one the same paramilitary troops took part in last month to regain control of Tikrit.
Former Thai Prime Minister Yingluck Shinawatra has appeared in court to face criminal charges over a mismanaged rice subsidy program that cost the country billions of dollars.
Mm-hmm. Labour and business leaders have united in opposing the government's move to introduce a national health insurance along the lines of the Affordable Care Act, commonly referred to as Obamacare in the USA. Labour Minister Priska Mufumira tabled the proposal at the tripartite negotiating forum and discussed ways of creating and enabling economic and social vision. To discuss the importance of the TNF, Studio 7's Blessing Zulu speaks with Secretary General Japhet Moyo of the Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions and President John Mufukari of the Employers Confederation of Zimbabwe.
It is extremely significant because what we have always said is that our problems will only be solved once we start talking to each other. Now, the mere fact that the TNF has resumed might itself not be the solution we want, because we can talk at each other rather than talk to each other. What we saw on the ground yesterday was very encouraging. It appears we are now in a position where we can talk to each other. And I'm hopeful that if this continues, then maybe we are at the beginning of the solution of our problems.
Mr. Moyo, are you of the same opinion about the TNF?
Yes. Our view is that if we talk, if we always talk, if we always engage, we are likely to find each other. We have differences, but if we keep on talking on issues, our view is that we'll be able to get a solution out of our challenges.
We understand that the government wants to introduce a national health insurance scheme. What is your take on that?
We think this is definitely the wrong timing for that initiative. We agree with the initiative in principle, but what we are saying now is, in a situation where companies cannot even cope with the current social protection services that are required through NASA, that is the pension scheme, it is not very practical that you want to put more on somebody who cannot even afford the little that is on them at the moment.
Mr. Moyo, is this not going to benefit labor?
Our challenge, I think, is the idea is based on a study done about 25 years ago. And as workers, we felt that we need to look at the current environment. We have challenges as workers. We go without our salaries for longer periods. Even when our employers are able to make that deduction, our employers sometimes are unable to make that remittance to the respective institutions. So it might not be able to assist us at all. And we also have a challenge with the governance issues. According to government, they want this to fall under NASA. And NASA is a tripartite structure. But as we speak, the term of office for the board, I think, ended a year ago. So NASA is currently run by one party. So we have a challenge with that, the issues of governance and transparency within NASA.
Let's turn to the issue of income disparities, which we understand was also discussed. Mr. Mufukari, what is the way forward? Why is there such a huge difference between what the managers are getting and what the shop floor workers are getting?
My quick answer to that is, we last had a national incomes survey in the 1980s. So, yes, a number of short and very small surveys have been done. And I'm sure this is what you are referring from. But we really would need a proper national salary survey in order to come up with figures that we can both accept as real.
That was Secretary General Japhet Moyo of the Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions. You also heard from Employers Confederation of Zimbabwe President John Mufukari. They were speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Zimbabwe's capital city, Harare.
The National AIDS Council says 900 young girls were sexually abused in the first quarter of this year. According to newzimbabwe.com, the council says there were at least 1,517 cases of sexual abuse during this period, with some of the victims testing HIV positive after being raped. Indications are that the figure is lower than that of the last quarter of 2014. For perspective, reporter Tatenda Gumbo speaks to Dr. Rutendo Bonde, chairperson of the Zimbabwe Association of Doctors for Human Rights, who says victims should know their legal rights in such cases.
The upsurge of violence, gender-based violence, especially among younger women, is an emerging social epidemic in Zimbabwe which we need to tackle.
Can you explain what exactly should happen when a child or anyone reports that they have been sexually abused or sexually assaulted? What is the procedure?
The pathway now begins with reporting to the health center. That's where the pathway now begins. It no longer begins with the police. It no longer begins with other care providers, although they are part of the chain. So really the message to say that, the first port of call is to present to the nearest health center. And I know that there's been a lot of capacity building, a lot of training of certainly public healthcare staff to deal better with such cases. Because I remember in the past that such cases, would always be asked, where is your police report? And then they wouldn't really have the full access to care. And we're dealing with a number of issues there. There's psychological trauma. We're dealing with the possibility of unwanted pregnancy, the possibility strongly of infection, and with the initiative to provide post-exposure prophylaxis. And that post-exposure prophylaxis has a certain window of time period to prevent the transmission of HIV to victims of sexual abuse.
That was Dr. Rutendo Bonde, chairperson of the Zimbabwe Association of Doctors for Human Rights, speaking with Tatenda Gumbo from Harare.
And in sports news, Highlanders Football Club have dismissed reports that coach Bongani Mafu has been fired following a string of losses at the team's Bulawayo home ground, Barberfield Stadium. Club Chief Executive Ndumiso Kumete says reports that Mafu has been fired were being circulated on social media without any confirmation from the team. Kumete tells Studio 7's Gibbs Dube that the club is happy with Mafu.
Mr. Mafu has not been fired. In fact, as I'm talking to you right now, I'm at White City Stadium where they are doing their training, and Mr. Mafu is in charge of that training. So there is no truth in that statement.
So where is all this coming from, Mr. Kumete?
Some rogue journalist put on his Facebook account that Highlanders were going to relieve Mafu of his job on Monday. And the truth of it is that there was no meeting of the Highlanders hierarchy on Monday because there was no quorum. Our chairman is in South Africa, attending COSAFA. Our vice chairman is in Harare. So the two members remaining, Mr. Mapena and Mr. Emmett, could not form a quorum.
So now, what is the current situation like? Because after the game at the weekend, some fans were actually complaining.
We seem not to have hit a winning streak. The players themselves are eager to get their act together and deliver on goals. They are ready at any time to turn this bad streak into a winning streak. And after that, it will be a different song. There is no need for us to panic.
That was Highlanders Football Club coach. I beg your pardon. That was, in fact, The Highlanders' chief executive, Ndumiso Gumede, speaking about Wongani Mafu, who was reported to have been fired, but he says he's not. Highlanders have 14 points after playing 10 games. Castlelaga Premier Soccer League log leaders Chicken Inn have 23 points from the same number of games.
And now, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Every year in the United States, the 11th of May is marked as Vietnam Human Rights Day, so designated by Congress to highlight our nation's support for promoting and protecting basic internationally recognized freedoms in that Southeast Asian nation. As is customary, a ceremony and discussion forum was held that day at the U.S. Capitol that included members of Congress, representatives of the State Department, labor leaders, non-governmental groups, and members of Vietnamese communities from across our country discussing the importance our nation puts on human rights and its role in our bilateral relations with Vietnam. Even as the group was meeting in Washington, Assistant Secretary of State for Democracy, Human Rights, and Labor Thomas Malinowski and other top U.S. officials were wrapping up discussions with their counterparts in Hanoi on the need for systemic legal system reform there to align that nation's laws with both its new constitution and its international human rights and labor rights commitments. The U.S. delegation called on Vietnamese authorities to release unconditionally all prisoners of conscience and urged a moratorium on new arrests under national security and other vague provisions of the penal code. We are concerned about the treatment of prisoners while incarcerated and how people are treated by the security forces generally, their rights to due process during court proceedings, and to freedom of movement both within the country and to leave the country when they choose. Since the normalization of relations between the U.S. and Vietnam in 1995, ties between our two nations have increased dramatically. There has been increased cooperation on issues such as promoting maritime security, improving public health and education, providing disaster relief, and expanding trade and investment ties. Concern for the basic human rights of the Vietnamese people, however, remains an integral part of the U.S.-Vietnam relationship.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The time it is, time for our mailbag. What do we have, Jonga?
There's an organization, I think, called Shamare Mwanasikana that says, quote, as we, Shamare Mwanasikana, would like to commend the great work that you are doing, and we have found the program focusing on women very helpful. We truly encourage you to continue doing the work you are doing, and we join you in the fight to positively change lives. Well done. End of quote.
Thank you very much there to Shamari Ye Mwanasikana. And remember, Studio 7 is now available on Channel Zim on your WizTech free-to-air decoder from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Monday to Friday, and from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday. From your WizTech decoder, look for CH Zim. Channel Zim is available 24/7 on your satellite TV, smartphone, and online. To listen online, go to www.channelzim.net.
Remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our Youth Connection hosts will be talking with experts and listeners about the rising number of girls being abused in Zimbabwe.
To join the discussion, text us at 001-202-465-0318 so we can call you right back from our studios.
And now to recap today's top stories.
Zimbabwe is proposing to introduce a national health insurance scheme that will be administered by the National Social Security Authority, NASA.
Some Harare residents say they will tomorrow engage in a clean-up campaign following the local authorities' failure to provide adequate services.
And some Zimbabweans in South Africa say they are being targeted by allegedly corrupt police demanding bribes.
That's our broadcast this evening.
Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Chris Gande in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiri, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.